Hey there, you are listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of the Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming at kmuz.org. This is where we shine a light on partnerships and programs that can serve our beautiful natural resources in Marion County. We are illuminating the Marion Soil and Water Conservation mission of conserving soil, water, and natural resources for both urban and agricultural audiences. I'm your host, Jenny Ammon, Natural Resource Educator with Marion Soil and Water Conservation District. And on this episode, we are talking with Cassie Roost, Summer Educator at Zena Learning Center, Audubon International Program Coordinator at Illahee Country Club, and she's a current board member for the Native Plant Society. We will talk about her work with the golf course and how that translated to conservation project implementation and partnership with Marion SWCD, what she's been up to for outreach and workshops and education this summer, and what the fall might bring. She's also going to talk about how she incorporates changing climate into her role as a gardener, instructor, and passionate conservationist. I don't know how she fits it all into a 24-hour day, but she does, and I'm thrilled to share her with you today on the podcast. So welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, I'm hoping that you can share a little bit about yourself with us, maybe where you're from and educational background, certifications you hold, and what drove you to the roles that we talked about in our introduction.
Absolutely. Well, I am 27 years old. And I've been living in Salem, Oregon for about 7 years, originally from Dallas, Texas. I am a certified master gardener, almost a certified master naturalist, and just recently decided to go back to school where I'm studying natural resource education and land use planning to help promote more ecological restoration. Overall, though, I'm just an avid gardener, a dog owner, and definitely driven by a passion for the outdoors and a curiosity to keep learning more.
I love it. I think the diversity in what you do with the certifications and the education is just a blessing for us. I want to share that your network has helped connect me to new people as well. So I'm thrilled that you're here. And I'd love for you to share, too, another way that you cross paths with some of our technical staff and our LAP programs, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. I first crossed paths with the Soil and Water District when starting a conservation project at Illahee Hills Country Club, where I invited out Sarah Hamilton, the SWCD Restoration Projects Coordinator, out. And she helped us conduct a site visit to later get approval for the Landowner Assistant Program Grant, or the LAP. And if you all listeners are unfamiliar with this grant, I suggest checking it out for yourself if you're interested in solving a natural resource issue on your own property. This could be erosion or weed control. And you can learn all about this on their website if you're curious to learn more. But at Illahee specifically, we decided to focus the LAP grant on restoring this eroded bankside of this little creek that runs through the property called the Petty John Creek. And we are going to be, with the help of the LAP, doing a native riparian planting project this fall as an extension of our wildlife garden. And we're going to be sourcing our seeds and starts from Heritage Seedlings. And to give a little bit of a background on this project, how it all got started, Illahee, they originally hired me as their landscape gardener about 4 years ago. And after about a year into employment, I was absolutely fascinated to learn how to promote healthier soil. And I found out about this environmental program specifically for golf courses when doing post-research. And it's called the Audubon Cooperative Sanctuary Program that's administered through Audubon International. And it's a really intensive 6-step certification process to help golf courses become better land stewards. So we're just really grateful at Ilahi to be able to work with the Soil and Water District to help with this riparian project to help us become certified. It's been about a 3-year project, and we expect to become fully certified this fall.
That's wonderful. I want to go back a little bit. You had talked about Sarah coming out and doing a site visit. And so site visits for us are usually the first step in the landowner assistance project. So making contact with a staff member and having them come out and look and really getting a broad picture of how you can be a participant in the conservation, either on your land or in your case, at the place of work. Was that a pretty easy task to do, Cassie, to get a hold and get that site visit scheduled?
Yes, it was easy, very easy, very exciting project to do.
Nice. I think that's pretty helpful because there might be some people that are new to the area and don't quite know where to start, especially when they get overwhelmed. You have several projects on the docket. What do I do first? So I don't know if you mind going through the process. You had mentioned there's different steps, and I'd love to learn a little bit more about the certification process because golf courses in general, I didn't realize had this opportunity. So could you explain that a little bit more?
Absolutely. It's a 6-step process, like I mentioned. And what we have to do is conduct an intensive site evaluation and plan stewardship efforts for each of those categories. So the categories are pertaining to water, quality and conservation, as well as wildlife habitat management, chemical use, reduction safety, education, outreach, and just creating an overall plan for the course. So for the past 3 years, we developed our plan and then worked on implementing different conservation projects in order to meet those minimum requirements through the Audubon International Organization. So we planned our efforts, implemented them, provided really detailed documentation. And this coming fall, we have scheduled our site evaluation. So we're actually going to have an inspector fly out from New York to come out, check out the course, and see if we're good to go, if we can achieve this certification officially.
Oh, that is really exciting. And it's so great that it's in our backyard that we, and I'm taking all the credit for you when I say this, we all did. But no, it's so great that it's in our backyard and we can now use that as a talking point about, you know, it was a simple step in a site visit. And then, you know, there's other programs out there that just amplify the conservation projects.
Absolutely. No, they're a great resource to have. I hope other golf courses in the area will want to follow suit once we're fully certified.
Well, that's great. Well, I hope so too. I also want to just mention quick, the reason Cassie and I know each other is Cassie has been just an amazing outreach and educator coordinator. I know that wasn't on the introduction title for her, but she really does a great job of putting really great programs in front of both youth and adults. She's done webinars, she's done in-person programming throughout the summer. Can you tell us a little bit about those outreach efforts?
Absolutely. This has been another amazing work relationship with the Soil and Water District, and you specifically. Jenny here has put together these amazing educational program bins that are available to check out if you're living in Marion County. And they have themes to them. So it's water, wildlife, soils, geology, all of these exciting subjects that include hands-on interactive activities and even lesson plans if you'd like to use them. And I've been utilizing this great resource at local schools here in town. So I just finished up a 6-week outdoor programming with the Xena Learning Center, which is an outdoor farm school in Northwest Salem, as well as monthly outreach events for youth at Ilahi, And then some as well for Heritage Elementary School for their after-school program and the Jane Goodall Environmental School. Also, last spring as well, I did partner with Chintimidy Wildlife Center and did an outreach event all about owls for kids. Mm-hmm. And this was a virtual event where we got to Zoom Bo the barn owl and his handler, actually at Chintimidy, the Wildlife Center. And we did owl pellet dissections, got to read Owl Moon, and have done virtual, or did that virtual outreach event with them. And also just teamed up with the Lucky Mute Watershed Council, did a bird walk out there for them at Ankeny Hills. And yeah, just like you said, all sorts of stuff, both for youth and adults in person and virtual.
It's great. I thank you for complimenting those program bins. That was a passion project. I love having the hands-on, because it's one thing to stand and talk to a student, even adults. It's much better to experience it and have something actionable that you're going to learn and retain. And I know you feel just as passionate about that, but everybody has a chance to use Google and internet to become aware of things. I think it's important to drive action versus just awareness. So you've given me some great feedback on those. And that's the other thing that's helpful, is that we can take feedback and improve what it is we offer. I know this might change the mood a little bit of our conversation, but it's been on KMUZ as well as all across Oregon, the realities of our current climate, and we are currently in a drought. How are you incorporating these realities of the current climate into your programming?
Sure. It's, really it's different for every age range. For younger kids, climate change is definitely not a primary focus. It's more about just building that appreciation for nature, fostering that connection. So later on, when they're more developmentally ready, you can start introducing these types of topics on our climate conditions. It's really, really important when you're working with kids to not instill ecophobia. And if you're not familiar with this term, it was coined by David Sorbel. And essentially, it just means that you feel powerless or devastated about environmental changes that are going on. So some of these intense subjects like drought, like fires, they can be really abstract and sometimes terrifying to think about if you're really little. So it's important to introduce that at a time when it's right for kids.
That book versus, is a must read.
Yes.
David Sorbel, the Beyond Ecophobia is a great one. It's a quick read, but if you are a grandparent, parent, aunt, uncle, it's just really smart book. So thanks for mentioning that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that book is great. It talks about how you can introduce these topics for different ages. And for older kids though, you can start introducing these subjects. But when you do so, you have to make sure that you're doing it in a way where you give them the tools and the knowledge needed so they can take action about these issues, make them feel empowered that they can create a positive change. And one of my favorite ways to go about this is through service learning opportunities. And service learning, it's a style of learning that combines the learning target goals as well as with a community service project. So for example, when talking about pollinators, the different types of species, and then mention the decline, you let the kids do a hands-on opportunity where they actually get to plant native wildflower seeds to bring home to their own yard, like we did at mm-hmm. the Jane Goodall School. So the kids feel like they are helping this issue.
Oh, awesome. At the end of the lesson. Items right there.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Absolutely. And At Ilahi, we were also doing this. We facilitated a junior master gardening program all about wildlife gardening and habitat. So the kids got to learn about habitat, learn about the importance of encouraging it, and also got to add onto an existing garden to create a wildlife garden and get it certified through the National Wildlife Federation, which was a really exciting project for them.
What an accomplishment.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. And that the what we're doing with the LAP grant, it's going to be kind of an extension of this area. So we've added more habitat options for pollinators, and then we're hoping with this riparian project, we can increase the, just the habitat that's there.
That's pretty powerful. There's a lot to be said for the service projects, not just for our youth, but adults too can feel that powerless and that, oh man, this is so heavy. But it really does start in your backyard. So planting native plants will help increase pollinators, and it becomes that snowball that starts small and rolls and gets bigger. So I'd love to just give you guys a quick update. We're talking with Cassie Roost, and she is amazing. She's summer educator for Christina Learning Center, Audubon International Program Coordinator at Ilahi, and is current board member for the Native Plant Society. And you're listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of the Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming on KMUZ.org. How, Cassie, do you create so much synergy between the roles that you have at Ilahi and throughout the community? They're varied, but where do you find that balance with these projects and the work that you're doing?
I definitely find balance by just staying positive, trying to be very organized with my goals and planning, and also just making the time to actually go outside and enjoy and appreciate the outdoors and have that connection for myself on what I'm trying to help protect and educate others on. Even though my roles might be varied, I feel like they still all complement each other under that similar theme, just to promote more ecological stewardship.
I love that you mentioned getting outside. We just traveled this weekend and went camping, and we did go up to Washington. And one of the things that I noticed there through observation skills is that we had some leaf color changing. And we're August 7th. I feel those things that maybe we're separating ourselves a little bit more every generation from observing these changes outside. Are you finding any of that to be part of your experience?
Absolutely. I have noticed there's a few trees in the neighborhood here. They're already getting that streak of red going through them. And yeah, definitely the phenology of the plants this year has been very interesting to see with our the dry weather that we've been having. It's definitely noteworthy and curious to see how that is going to play an effect in the larger role of things just as our calendar starts moving back, how is this going to affect everything else? So yeah, has been interesting.
Definitely. I think the service projects that you brought up too are one of the things that I get hopeful for, is that we have students, middle and high school, that are incorporating solutions versus just conversation about the problems. So thanks for those great ideas. And can you say again, who's partnering with the Master Gardeners? Who runs that program? Is that 4-H?
I facilitated the programming and worked with Kelly Nowak, who runs the Junior Master Gardening Program. And when working on my Master Gardening certification, I facilitated two of their programs to help achieve my cert. So we did the soil and water certification out at Halk Middle School, and then also the wildlife gardening certification out at Ilahi.
Oh, that's great. So 4-H and Kelly are pretty awesome. That's another, we get to partner with great people locally.
Absolutely. It's a fun niche for sure.
Well, hey, since we're on the subject of observation, what we've noticed and places we've gone, this has been one of my favorite questions to ask our podcast guests. So favorite places to explore and your favorite Oregon critter?
Ooh, that's a tricky one. Living in this beautiful state.
I always have to put people on the spot. You have to pick a favorite, singular.
Ooh, favorite. Favorite, I would say natural area. I do really enjoy going out to Silver Falls for some hiking. And then favorite critter would probably be the rough-skinned newt. At Illahi, they do have a yearly migration, which is an amazing experience to see. The newts, they come out of the native areas and they migrate to reach the pond during mating season. So the females will lay their eggs on leaves and other aquatic plants in the pond. And then a couple months later, once the juveniles have fully formed, they'll come out on land for themselves. And these amphibians, they're just so exciting to see in the ponds at Illahi. And we're very grateful to have them and do what we can to help protect them through this Audubon Cooperative Sanctuary Program.
I love it. The first time we saw, so I wasn't we, it was my son who was like, "What are those?" And then I found out you call yourself a salamander.
Salamander, yes. That's the term. If you're living in Salem, have been here for a bit, I do like to call myself a very proud salamander.
I love it. That fits. It fits you. And I love that you were able to pick a critter, because I think that's a tough ask. Well, hey, so I'm hoping you can share too with our audience if you have any upcoming programs that you're wanting to share out about, maybe this fall, what is coming up?
Sure. At Illahi, we're going to be doing a nesting box building event partnered with the Salem Audubon Society. So we're going to be constructing nesting boxes and putting them up around the course. We're also going to be doing our native planting project with the LAP and hopefully becoming fully certified with the program from Audubon International. I also did just sign up here right before this talk to help the Soil and Water District with the upcoming Salmon Watch opportunities, which I'm pretty stoked on.
We are too.
And I also just took on a new role as project planner for Birdhaven. This is an amazing private property owned by Jan Irene Miller and Jim Bayek. And they are working on implementing three projects through the NRCS, or the Natural Resource Conservation Service. And this is an extraordinary agency that's a part of the United States Department of Agriculture. And they provide resources for landowners to help them implement conservation efforts. So we are going to be working on that together. The three programs or projects are going to be creating and applying biochar from woody debris from the last ice storm damage to add 3 acres of cultural plantings, which is plants that existed prior to European settlement that was used in the daily lives of tribes for traditional practices. And then also doing what we can to improve or preserve, I should say, habitat for forest-dwelling migratory birds. Mm. So I'm super excited about this project. It's just finished up at Illahi, but we're just signed on for another 4-year plan. So I'm very excited.
That is really exciting. I can't wait to have you come back and we could do another program and watch. The biochar is just so timely with what happened with our ice storm. We have so much fuel, and that's a great way to put it back into the soil for use for our plants.
Absolutely. Yes.
Oh, that's really exciting. I just wanted to ask too, if folks want to come to that nest building. So that's great habitat boxes you're putting up. Can they help with that, or is that already full?
It hasn't been advertised yet.
Okay.
I don't mind if people want to come. They would need to sign up in advance. I should probably actually ask Illahi if that's okay.
It's okay.
But
you need to put you on the spot. I'm like,
no, you're totally great. Fine. Yeah, maybe if we can find a way to share contact, we could absolutely see if we could have some outside community members come and join us, because that would be awesome to have.
Well, we can always have that information. You can email me, jenny.ammon@marionswcd.net, and Cassie and I are in regular communication, so we can figure out if that's viable about the nest boxes. Yeah. Hey, any other thoughts that you would like to share out on this episode?
Closing thoughts is I hope people feel empowered by this and realize that little actions do add up. And everyone does have the power to make a difference in restoring land, creating habitat, or even educating others in their community. And a great way to go about this, to educate yourself on all things in nature, I did want to share information on this amazing free app that you can download on your smartphone called iNaturalist. It's an amazing social app where it helps you identify all things in nature. So this is plants, wildlife, mushrooms, bugs, anything out there. And it has this feature where it gives you a prediction on what you're finding might be on the app. And it's usually pretty spot on, or at least in the right plant family. And it's an amazing way to help you learn about the nature right at home or at your favorite natural area. And once you upload a finding, it contributes to this global database that's public. So scientists are utilizing this app and reports from people to help better understand and protect nature. So it's an amazing educational tool and citizen science opportunity to report the findings you're seeing in your area.
Absolutely second that. It's a great resource. And we're talking citizen science. The best way to get more connected is to get out and observe and report. That's part of the scientific method. So Cassie, you have been wonderful to chat with. Cassie is the educator, summer educator at Zena Learning Center, Audubon International Program Conservation Lead at Illahi, and is a wonderful partner. I'm your host, Jenny Ammon, Natural Resource Educator for the Marion Soil and Water Conservation District. And I want to thank you for taking a few minutes to share the light with us. We're grateful for a community full of conservation-minded folks who know the importance of partnerships. If you'd like more information, you can check out our website at marionswcd.net or our Facebook page. And we're really excited. Starting in October, our first Fridays are back. They are not in person, but we are using the Zoom platform, and our link is live on Eventbrite to get registered. And tune in next month on the third Wednesday of the Conservation Spotlight on Willamette Wake Up, KMUZ 100.7 and 88.5. And thank you for listening and shining your light.